The following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody. It is 8:30, and welcome to the Mark B. Lee's Fear the Walking Dead online viewing party. It is Season 4, Episode 5, and thanks for joining us. As always, tonight's show will contain spoilers up through the last episode and anything from current AMC promo materials. So, welcome to Episode 5 of Fear the Walking Dead, Season 4. After tonight, we have three episodes until the mid-season finale. The current theory is that the front eight episodes of Fear will wrap with mid-season finale Episode 8 on June 10th, then likely to resume around mid-August, so that the back half will line up with Season 9 of The Walking Dead Classic, probably in October. All this is based on prior patterns and could change, so stay tuned for updates as we get them. I'm going to take a quick pause and welcome one of our regulars. Joan is in the chat already. Thanks for joining us. Always appreciated, and perhaps a couple other people will be joining us shortly. So typically, we start this show about a half hour before the new episode airs each week, with recap from the previous episode and discussions of what is to come tonight. At 9 p.m., we'll go dark or mute and watch the new episode together and give episode ratings from 1 to 10 and commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free. So please don't discuss either spoilers you've heard or stuff from the comics in the chat or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show that's presented. Feel free to call in to speak with the host at 914-338-0314 anytime between 8:30 to 9 p.m. tonight, or you can call during the show. You will be screened and muted until the commercial break where we can chat on the air together. If the phones are not really your thing, feel free to join us in our live chat room where you will be able to listen to the show real time as well as download the episode after the fact. And every week we will put up a link for that on our Facebook page and also on Twitter so that you guys can do that. If you're unable to join us by 9 p.m., you can still go to each individual episode link later and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening. Click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page. And by the way, if you guys are missing older episodes that you want to hear, you can go to our Facebook page, and I have a pinned post at the top of the page which has the episodes and their links, so you can download them after the fact or at least listen to them. So, let me check the chat room, see if anybody else is here yet. Joan reminds me, yes, it is Happy Mother's Day, so I want to, this will include myself, but I want to include everybody who is celebrating Mother's Day today. So, thank you guys for that. I had a lovely day with my daughter having tea, and then we watched a movie together. So hopefully you guys have had a chance to go do some Mother's Day stuff so that you can join us tonight. So episode 5 is titled Laura, and the official AMC synopsis is the arrival of a wounded visitor in John Dory's life forces him to change his ways. And as I usually do every week, I have found a couple of other websites that have additional synopsis material that I want to read to you guys now. So the first one is from comicbook.com, one of our regular sources, and by Brandon Davis, one of our regular people that we quote on the show. And it just says, Fear the Walking Dead, Season 4, Episode 5, Laura. That was written today, as a matter of fact, this morning. Skipping by the official synopsis because I already read that to you guys. The episode will be a flashback to Garrett Delahunt's life, and that's John Dory, prior to abandoning a post-apocalyptic home where Laura ends up, before she later introduced herself as Naomi to the group at the baseball stadium. Episode 4-5 is a tremendously written and touching episode featuring human interaction between two very different characters. Both newcomers to Fear the Walking Dead in its fourth season, Dillahunt's character happily enjoys the slightest form of companionship, while Jenna Elfman's character will be a bit more closed off to such an idea. The episode is almost entirely a flashback, but will ultimately feature moments in the present timeline of Fear the Walking Dead. And this is a quote. "You will learn about some of his backstory, but there's still a lot I don't know," Dillahunt told comicbook.com during production of Fear's episode 4-6, which will be next week. Quote, "I don't know anything about his family. I don't know anything about where he lived before, specifically. I know what he did, and I know why he didn't do it anymore. And then I know what happens to him early in the apocalypse. And then he meets a lot of these characters, and I think he's kind of relieved to have crew again," end quote. The actor has long been familiar with the Walking Dead universe, once campaigning for the role of Negan on the flagship series. As it turns out, he came closer than some may have thought. Quote, "I was a fan, and I did meet Scott Gimple over the phone as we talked about Negan possibilities," Dillahunt admits. Quote, "As he talked about it with many people, and I was not available to do it anyway. I was doing Hand of God on Amazon, but it started a relationship with us. And then I kind of enjoyed messing with people about it as if I had had an actual shot. I don't know that I'd be a good Negan anyway." And that's the end of that episode. Double checking in the chat, and we're still good. So I'm going to go to the next synopsis that I grabbed for you guys. And this one is from fansided.com. And it's also the same thing. Fansided.com is hosted by somebody. I keep thinking there's another name for this. I'll figure it out in a minute. I know what I'm talking about. I just can't find it. Anyhow, Fear the Walking Dead Season 4, Episode 5, Synopsis, Laura. This one is by Brittany Frederick, and this was written yesterday. And she says, "Fear the Walking Dead reveals more of John Dory's life this week. Official synopsis, which we're skipping. Sunday's installment is simply called Laura, which we presume is the name of an unexpected visitor who stumbles into the life of John Dory, played by Garrett Dillahunt. AMC hasn't given any further information on who Laura is or why she's so significant for him, but apparently her coming into the show is enough to force the enigmatic man to go through some personal changes. Garrett Dillahunt joined Fear this season as one of three new main cast members, the other two being Maggie Grace, who plays Al, and Lenny James in his move from The Walking Dead to its spinoff show. Now that we're well into season 4, it's a good time to start digging into these characters and showing more about them since they're well settled into the show's world. This week's episode seems like that's exactly what it's going to do for Dillahunt's character. And if you've ever watched Dillahunt in almost anything else, which I have to admit to you guys I haven't yet, quote, he's an expert at playing characters whom we can't quite put a finger on, with the exception of Raising Hope, which I also haven't seen. This should be a strong episode for him as, quote, Laura will not only hopefully reveal some new facts about John Dory, but possibly give him some more emotional or vulnerable material, since it's clear this new woman will be a prominent person in his life somehow. And then they have the AMC description. And I've already read that to you guys, so I'm going to skip over that and see. Joan doesn't have anything to add right this second, so I'm going to skip to the last of the synopses links for you guys. And this one is from sci-fi.com. S-Y-F-I. Yes, I hate it too. Now, this one isn't quite just a synopsis, but it's about tonight's episode. And it was written by Elise Wax, A-L-Y-S-E, Elise Wax, on May 11th. And it's called Learn John and Laura's Fear the Walking Dead Backstory in this exclusive clip. Now, I won't be able to show you guys the video, but I'll read you the stuff because I do have an article attached. So, last week on Fear the Walking Dead, we learned that John's, Garrett Dillahunt, beloved Laura, Jenna Elfman, was actually the nervous nurse Naomi, who had been picked up by the stadium crew. We also found out that, according to Luciana, Naomi is dead, or rather, Luciana believes she's dead. We sense something catastrophic happened at the stadium, and while a lot of people died, we're sure a lot more were left under the impression that they were dead. I lost my place for a hot second because there was a Java nonsense on the page. Okay, here we go. However, due to the nonlinear structure of the season, you know how they keep jumping back and forth, we won't know that until likely the end of the season, or possibly, in my theory, at least the end of the midseason finale, I think. In this Sunday's new episode of Fear the Walking Dead, we get John and, quote, Laura's backstory, how they met, and the trauma that clouds their behavior. In this exclusive clip from the episode, John catches Laura trying to sneak out of his house after he found her injured outside his home. Even though the pair just met, and John had been nothing but kind to the traumatized woman, she still wants to leave. While John doesn't want her to go, he isn't going to force her to stay. He may want her to get all tidied up before she leaves, though. Will John's kindness and no-pressure attitude convince her to stay? Find out this Sunday, blah, blah, blah. Okay. And that is it. And there's no further comments in the chat room at the moment, so I'm going to skip down next to writer and director profiles. So we had been pretty lucky in that Wikia and a couple other places did have some writers and directors listed several times this season already. But tonight's episode, they did not have. And last week, I had the director, but not the writer. So I do have the writer from last week, but I don't have anything for tonight. So last week's episode, episode 4, which was Buried, the writer for that was Alex Del Lyle, D-E-L-Y-L-E. I hope I'm saying that right. And by the way, Alex is a lady. Alex Del Lyle is a writer and director known for Fear the Walking Dead, Cop Car from 2015, and Puppy Dreams, which is a short from 2013. She graduated from NYU in 2006 with a BA in film and TV production and journalism. Alex has been a staff writer for all four prior episodes of season 4 tonight. Tonight's episode is her first as the actual lead writer. And that is all I have for you on that, but I will get some more next week and let you guys know, as we often have to do, go back an episode. And continuing, we have trivia about tonight's episode. Not a whole lot. It will be the 42nd episode of Fear overall. This episode is not listed as extended, one of the very first this season to do that. And this last part is something of a spoiler, but was addressed in last week's episode, so I'm going to go ahead and say it because this is not a secret by this time. So this episode marks the second time in Fear the Walking Dead that the name of a character is included in the episode title, the first being Pablo and Jessica. Spoiler. However, quote, Laura is not an actual character's name, rather a nickname for Naomi that she told John Dory was a real name. Trivia for last week's episode, which was Buried, episode 4. The title refers to Morgan's line about staying only to see Nick buried, the buried weapons cache, and Nick's ultimate fate. This episode gives the time of the flashbacks as having happened a couple of weeks before. We weren't sure before that. John Dory's missing girlfriend, Laura, is identified as Naomi, the survivor found in the episode Another Day in the Diamond. She is stated to have died at the time between the flashbacks and the present. The Dell Diamond Baseball Stadium is revealed to have fallen in the present day, though exact circumstances are still unclear. Alicia's new weapon is shown to be a machine gun barrel she obtained while fighting walkers at Whirling Waves. She states that she sharpened it, quote, later, but doesn't elaborate on what exactly that means. There is a goof from last week, a blooper. While Madison is talking to Melvin during the flashback segment, both of them are shown in different shots, but from the same angle, with Ennis and Charlie in the background. While the camera focuses on Madison, Ennis is seen looking down before turning his head to the viewer's left. However, the moment the camera cuts to Melvin, Ennis is immediately looking down again, indicating two different takes of the scene. It is 8:45, so we've got 15 minutes before we go live, and I'm going to skip down on my notes a little bit, check on the chat room. We are still good, so I'm going to continue with my notes. And the next thing we have is cast birthdays for this week. We have two. Alexandra, Alex Breckenridge, who played Jesse from Alexandria. A lot of Alex things going on tonight. Her birthday will be May 15th. So that'll be Tuesday night, and she is from Darien, Connecticut. And Carrie Payton, who plays King Ezekiel, his birthday will be May 16th, and he is from Augusta, Georgia. So let's give them some birthday applause, and happy birthday to guys. Thanks for all your work on the show. Always appreciated. And please join us again, you guys, next Sunday night, May 20th at 8:30, always, for Fear Episode 6, which is called Just in Case. So we have three episodes left, and I have the titles and summaries for them. Next week, the 20th, will be Just in Case. Strand wrestles with Madison's decisions. Things take an unexpected turn at the stadium. Number 7, which will be June 3rd, is the wrong side of where you are now. Madison's decision to help an adversary has unintended consequences. Meanwhile, John Dory's life hangs in the balance. And episode 8, which is the mid-season finale, No One's Gone. Madison fights to preserve the life she worked so hard to build. Morgan tries to do the right thing. That's June 10th. That will be the mid-season finale, after which we will have a break for the summer. And please remember to watch for Fear Part 2 of Season 4 in August, roughly, and Walking Dead Classic in October. Featured music, which I try to do when we can. Sometimes there are songs that are integral to the story, and they name them specifically, but I did not get a name for anything for last week. So Season 4, Episode 4, no significant music noted. And we're going to move on to discussion links. And I'm going to go ahead and set that up for you guys. And then after I do that, I'll check the chat room again and see how we are doing, if Kelly or any of our other regulars have joined us. If you guys give me just a quick second. Got that set up. And Kelly has just joined us. So let's say yay. Thank you, Kelly. Glad to see you. It's 8:48, so we got about 12 minutes to chit-chat before we go live. So I pulled up that one article that I want to read you guys. This is from the Inquisitor.com, INQUISITR.com, and it was written on April 16th, but it's relevant to a lot of stuff tonight, so I want to read this to you. And the title is Fear the Walking Dead Season 4. Already comparisons are being made from John to Rick and Laura to Lori. How long will it? This is a subtitle. How long will it take Morgan to work out that people are the same everywhere he goes? This article was written by Rachel Soumbakos, T-S-O-U-M-B-A-K-O-S. And I'm gonna check in the chat room before we get started. And Kelly's just saying hi. Happy Mother's Day, by the way, Kelly. Happy Mother's Day, Joan, as you mentioned earlier. So here's the article. Quote: On Sunday night, Morgan made the long walk from The Walking Dead to its companion program, Fear the Walking Dead. Almost immediately, he met John Dory, a character who is desperately looking for a woman named Laura. But has Morgan traveled all this distance to meet someone just like Rick Grimes? Spoiler alert, this article contains information about the Season 4 premiere of AMC's Fear the Walking Dead. Remember, this was written roughly a month ago when we were just starting out. So there's no spoilers if you are current. The Season 4 premiere of Fear the Walking Dead saw the introduction of a new character called John Dory, played by Garrett Delahunt. However, it is his story about his search for Laura that is comparable to Rick Grimes' search for his wife, Lori, in Season 1 of The Walking Dead. As Variety points out, and there's a different article, but I'm not going to read them both, Episode 1 of Fear, Season 4, called What's Your Story?, opens with John Dory talking aloud to himself. In this conversation, he talks of a woman he used to know and how they were in some sort of relationship. Later on in the episode, he reveals this woman's name is Laura. In The Walking Dead, Morgan first came into contact with Rick Grimes not long after he awoke from a coma and was trying to locate his wife, Lori, and their son, Carl. In fact, in episode one of Fear, season four, Morgan is even reminded of their first meeting when Rick tries to convince him to return to their group. "A lot of people are here now because you helped me at the beginning," Rick says to Morgan. So already, viewers remember Rick and Morgan's journey. Along with the fact that John is trying to locate a woman he seems to have been in a relationship with whose name starts with L, there are other reminders that he is similar to Rick. John is first seen wearing a distinctive hat, although John's hat is more of a cowboy hat, giving him the appearance of a gunslinger when he and Morgan first see each other. When Morgan first came into contact with Rick all that time ago, Rick was also known to wear a very distinctive hat. This is the hat he eventually gave to Carl. Along with his attitude, John has a very special gun, as did Rick. In fact, great care is taken to tell the audience that the gun is fairly unique and that Laura has the matching one. Rick also has a very particular gun he liked to use. So what will this mean moving forward in Fear of the Walking Dead Season 4? Perhaps Morgan will come to understand that no matter where he is in the Walking Dead universe, good and bad people will always surround him. I consider this point fairly obvious, but okay. For Morgan, his battle with his own conscience has been his biggest obstacle, and it seems he has found a similar personality in John. While John may seem similar to Rick, he has one fundamentally different trait. John doesn't want to kill humans. So it seems that Morgan, who has always fought Rick's idea that sometimes you just have to kill people in order to protect the group as a whole, has finally met a kindred spirit in John. However, for fans of Fear the Walking Dead, they will have to tune into future episodes to discover whether John or Rick's way will be the right way in the new world. And that's all fine and well. That is the whole summary, and I've already read that to you guys. And we don't have any commentary in the chat room, so that is the only article that I have that is not a cast interview for you guys. So what I'm going to do, I will put it up to the chat room to vote. So of the cast interviews I have not done for you guys already, I still have, I have two with Lenny James. One is from October of 2017, and one is from April of 2018, and it's more from the point of view of already being on Fear the Walking Dead. So I might read those two together. And then I have one from Ray McKinnon, who played Proctor John. From Michael Greyeyes, who played Kalitaka Walker. Edwina Finley, who played Diana. Justin Rain, who played Crazy Dog. And then a Q&A with Lysandra Tenya, who plays Lola. So if you guys in the chat room have any preferences, please let me know, and I'll go ahead and queue that up. I might even be able to start on it before we actually go live. So, Kellyanne Joan, if you get an opportunity and you have a particular one that you want to vote on, please let me know. And I will see what I can do about pulling that up, and then we can talk. Kelly doesn't really mind or have a preference and says anything will be fine. Joan, I don't know if you have a preference. I think you did vote last week, and I think that was the time that Kelly was not able to join us. So I don't know if you got yours out of the way. I may go ahead and start pulling one up, but okay, so Joan doesn't have an opinion either. So what I may do is let me start at the bottom with Lysandra Tenya, who plays Lola, and we'll kind of go from there and then work our way up the list, because a lot of these I just keep on hand if we have exhausted our talking points and there's just some interesting things to hear from the cast, you know, and they would be fine if I read them now or in a couple weeks, it won't really matter. So this is a AMC Fear the Walking Dead Q&A with Lysandra Tenya, who played Lola. It was by Siobhan Bell, who does most of these. And this one was written 8 months ago. So I'm going to go ahead and pull that up for you guys. I can read some of that to you, and we'll get some more into the commercials. It's 8:55, so we have about 5 minutes before we will go dark and watch the live episode for this week. So Lysandra Tenya, who plays Lola on AMC's Fear the Walking Dead, talks about joining the apocalyptic world, the pressure on Lola's shoulders, and Madison's attempt to negotiate for a precious commodity. Question: What immediately stood out to you about your character, Lola? Answer. She was very strong. I noticed that right off the bat. She wasn't a weak character, but she was also a compassionate character, which we don't see much of on this show. She laughs. That had some weight. Also, the fact that she's Mexican resonated because I'm Mexican-American. All my family's from the north side of Mexico. Question. What was it like for you as an actress to immerse yourself in the apocalyptic world? Answer. It was exciting and challenging at the same time. I was definitely nervous. Being able to work in Mexico was something profound, to be able to go back and shoot there because that's where it's actually taking place. That was definitely a blessing, for sure. Question. Daniel's violent streak definitely differs from how Lola likes to run things. How do you compare the two as leaders? Answer. I definitely see that he's been shaped by this world. He's experienced the outer world probably more so than Lola has, which is why she hasn't developed that same sense of violence. She sees that deep down inside, he's a kind person, and if it wasn't for this situation and these circumstances, he probably wouldn't be this way. She definitely sees past that. He probably would still have all these leadership qualities, but violence might not be the first thing he goes to. She doesn't have the same understanding of what it's really like to be out there and how people have become. Question. Is it possible for them to coexist, or are there bound to be problems? Now, we already know the answer to this because this was last fall. Answer. I think it's possible because he's partnered up with her now. She's leading the dam, so it's her call, and she has a say. She feels this may open him up to not being the person he has been out in the world. She sees that there's hope for him, and that's why she's okay with him there. Question. What was your experience working with Ruben Blades so closely? Answer. What was it like? Oh my God, he's a delight. He's really wonderful to work with. He's definitely calming, although he is a riot. He's always cracking jokes, and he's very playful. But he's a grounded person. He's open and so easy to work with. We had great chemistry right off the bat. I don't know if it has anything to do with us being Latino, she laughs. It's funny because we're both so serious on the show, but right before takes, we're cracking jokes. Question. In episode 11, and that means, you know, season 3 of Fear, Lola is originally adamant about not negotiating with Madison. What causes her initial fear? Answer. Lola is hesitant because of what happened with Dante and how that turned out. She doesn't trust Madison. She doesn't know who this person is. Even though Daniel knows her, Lola doesn't know her. Something Madison wants to trade are guns, and Lola doesn't want to encourage violence. That's not how she wants to run things. It's the fear. She fears losing the dam to some strangers. She's more guarded now. And it's 8:59, so I'm going to stop there and hold the rest of this article until the first commercial break. And in fact, I think I am going to go ahead and go dark, and I will see you guys at the first break. Well, that was short and sweet. It is 9:02, and we are at our first commercial break already. So let's go ahead and get some scores up. I don't know how we can really rate the, minute and a half of story that there was. I kind of agree with Joan. Kelly's actually going to start with a 4, and I don't blame you because there was so little to go by. Joan's at 5, Kelly's at 4, and I'm at 5. And there really wasn't any commentary other than just, you know, it's nice that we're going to get John Dory's story. So while we get a second here, I will continue with the Q&A. And question, Lola says Madison is trying to save her own children while she herself is trying to save her city, meaning Lola. How would you describe the pressure on Lola's shoulders right now? Answer, Lola understands what Madison's going through and the fact that she has a family, but she needs Madison to know the gravity of the situation and that this isn't personal. Lola's trying to protect her family, which is her city. So she wants her to know she's using caution, meaning Lola wants Madison to understand that. The line is really profound because it tells you so much about the character. This is her mission in life, to protect and serve her community and her people. You can see that it just comes naturally to her. There's no question about it. Madison would try to do the same for her family. And good, we're still in commercials. We have one more question. She's in a powerful position right now as, quote, the Water Queen. Do you think she made the right call by agreeing to train with Madison for guns to protect herself? Answer. You know how sometimes when we're going through something, we only see what we want to see? When she does actually agree to this, the people are now coming to the dam, which is putting that whole area at risk. I think that's when it becomes clear to her that something has to be done. She may have to just trust Madison and trust Daniel's advice. They've been able to survive in this world, so perhaps this will work out. And that is the end of that Q&A. Pardon my hiccups. There's a trailer for Solo, so we may be going back in a minute, but let me get a couple comments. Joan has said, curious to see why those guns are so important or significant to John's backstory. Yes, I think we may get into that tonight. And Kelly adds, yes, they were important to him from way back as they are engraved JD, if John Dory really is his name. Yes. And we are back, so I'll see you guys at break number two. Well, that was certainly making up for the very short first break. And it's now the second break, and we're already at 9:19. So let's go ahead and get those scores up. I'm actually going to go a little higher. Joan's now at 6. Kelly's at 6. I'm going to go 6-5. And I want to run back real quick and see if I can grab some of the comments from the last time we voted. Kelly mentioned the Billy Bass and the song that we're playing, you know, sometimes we go to that website and mention songs that we use in the show, was Take Me to the River, but I'm only used to the Talking Heads version, and I did not know that there may have been an earlier one, and I think the bass was singing it. So John Dory rigged the fish plaque to make an alarm, and she says, I'm not sure what that says about his taste, but it's interesting. And then he was playing Scrabble with himself, and I had made a joke, oh, look, it's Words with Friends. And Joan also said he's very creative, very self-sufficient, except for the humans not meant to be alone all the time thing. He even has electricity. So he says, wow, he's really set up. Joan says, I know, wonder why he left, other than he went looking for Laura/Naomi, or just people in general, too. And then they were doing the scene where they're putting stitches on Laura/Naomi, and I was just like, ow and yuck about her wound. And Joan says, yes, my thoughts exactly. Having flashbacks to the first episode of Lost, which I haven't seen, actually. Kelly says, I hadn't thought of that in a while, but you are right. And also, he did Wild West shows. That explains it, his old gunslinger persona. Joan says, yep. Seems like he has a background in outdoor stuff, too, though. Not as rough around the edges as Daryl from the original series, but he seems to have some of the same skills. And then we have the rating, and Joan says, this episode seems to be creating as many questions as it answers so far. Ah, and Kelly has found the song for us. It is Al Green's version of Take Me to the River. That's good, actually. And you know what? I'm going to put those in my notes for next week in case I forget about the music. Let me see if I can do that here. Al Green, Take Me to the River. Okay, so now I have that in my notes for next time. And we're still doing commercials for, oh, The Walking Dead, TWDSupplyDrop.com. Lenny James is saying something. I guess it's just a place to buy swag. I didn't know if there was like a password or something. But we're still in a commercial. So let me take a look at the interview. And we have finished the interview, so I'm going to go ahead and pull that one out and then set up the next one, which is with Justin Rain that played Crazy Dog last season. And Crazy Dog is one of the characters, along with Taka, that kind of supposedly went up to Seattle or whatnot. And so we don't know what happened to them. We actually don't yet know what the hell happened to Luciana, that she vanished and then magically came back later. So I don't know if these stories are related somehow, because they kind of went north, and it seems like other people ended up going east, southeast, well, east-east, I guess. So I don't know, a lot of unanswered questions from all that going on. But I'm going to go ahead and pull up the Justin Rain interview, even though I'm not quite sure when we'll go back. We're in Wendy's commercial, and typically they don't go back until after the trailers for shows. But now we have a trailer for a show, and I am not sure what show it is. Kind of looks like a Jurassic Park thing. June 22nd. I guess, sorry. Jurassic World, maybe. Yes, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. June 22nd, we are back. I'll see you guys at break number 3. Okay, guys, we are back. It's 9:33, and we're just at commercial break number 3. So I'm going to probably stay at, no, I'm not going to stay at 6.5. I'm going to go 6.75, inching up a little. Joan and Kelly are ahead of me now at 7, and I'm going to scoot back and see what chit-chat we had before the other scores. We had that David, Kelly's husband, gets credit for figuring out that Al Green did Take Me to the River, and I will mention that next week when we do the music. So he gets his credit. And also, David is cheering for the zombies, rooting for the opposite team. You can tell he's watching tonight. And Kelly also mentioned police officer parallel, also like Rick. And Joan mentioned another police officer parallel. Morgan has a knack for finding prior law enforcement, doesn't he? I don't know if it's that so much Joan as it is maybe prior law enforcement, because of their jobs, have a bit more survival skills than your average person, because they kind of need to know certain things. But, that's probably even a stretch as well. So I'm not really sure. Joan made a further comment. Funny how John holds on to all the old mundane rituals from his prior life, like signing up rentals to watch and shopping on Tuesdays. Wouldn't have thought he had what it takes to survive. Sometimes people can surprise you, and it's one of the interesting things about this show. People that you think would survive well that don't necessarily. And some of the ones, like Carol, for example. I mean, she started out as a meek little thing, and then she was by herself for a large chunk of time. Oh, Joan says, meaning he seems to have gone around the bend. Well, that's entirely possible, although he seems to me like he might have been around that bend already. WalkingDeadRewards.com. Your word tonight is the diviner, one squished word together, 9:36, if you are taping the show and watching it later, in case you do that sort of contesty thing. Let me poke over here at our article. We have an AMC interview with Justin Rain, who plays Crazy Dog, who was in season 3, another one by Siobhan Bell. This was 7 months ago. And let me pull those up. And okay, so we still have a normal commercial, so we might have a hot minute. Okay, let's see if we can knock out a question or two during the break. Question: with a name like Crazy Dog, what were you expecting your character to be like? Was the reality any different? And answer: when I first came on board, I didn't read for Crazy Dog. I read for Walker, who was supposed to be mid to late 40s and leader of the nation. And I saw that and was like, no way, I don't look that old yet. The writing was so good, so I thought I'd have some fun with it anyway. They went another direction and asked if I wanted to come in as the right hand to Walker. With the name Crazy Dog, my first assumption was, okay, bring on the crazy, he laughs. I thought it was cool that it was me that took down the chopper in the opening of the season. When I joined the show, I asked if Cliff Curtis was around, because I'm a big fan of his work, And then I found it was my bullets that took him out. Oops. We have a commercial. For Black Panther. Yes. And then we have humans. Okay, so we're probably going to go back in a second. And we are. So I'll see you guys at break number 4. Okay, guys, let's try this again. My understanding is the last commercial break, we were not having proper sound. So I'm going to go 775. Whoops, too many sevens. Kelly's at an 8. She says she can hear me now. Good. Joan's at 7.5. I was working on the Justin Rain interview, but you guys may not have heard anything, so not sure what's up with that. Grab a couple comments. Joan says, first time somebody mentioned people getting really sick from being covered in Walker guts, so it was hinted at in the original. Are you sure about that? Because I could have sworn that Glenn had been habitually doing this and taught Rick how to do it very early on in the original. But somebody else had pointed out they put it over clothing and not on their skin. I don't know. They haven't been consistent with this particular part of the mythos, and that annoys me a little bit. And so Jonah mentioned there's a herd. Probably had to happen eventually, and likely the reason he ended up leaving. And Kelly says she's going to take one of his guns and run, I bet. I was reading you guys' Justin Rain interview. If I can remember next week to pull it up and to not, you know, skip over the beginning. Here we have Talking Dead with Chris Hardwick. It's 9:56. So it's weird because they did not say this episode was going to run over, but it's going to have to now because we have 4 minutes until 10 o'clock and we're still in commercials. So I know the next little bit of it has got to be a little longer than that. There's something, Hotel Artemis in theaters, June 8th. I don't know what the heck that one is. Some kind of weirdo horror movie, which looks like it might have Jodie Foster in it. How interesting. Not sure what that's about. I haven't muted. Well, let's see. Everybody's pretty impressed with John Dory's shooting, probably especially Naomi or Laura at this point. So I'm just kind of waiting to see if that goes back. No, we're still in commercials. Good Lord. Well, you know, let me go back to, I don't know what to do with the interview because we really don't have that much time left, but we have longer than I expected. So I may go back to the question, you find yourself in a lot of action on the show. Is that something you seek out when auditioning for a part? And the answer is, definitely, I'm not opposed to a good workout on a set. I don't go to the gym as much as I'd like to, so running around and killing zombies for a living is not so bad. When the barricade we created breaks down, that's in episode 12 last season, and the zombies come through and all hell breaks loose, it was a lot of choreography, and then it turned into a free-for-all each take. It was like, okay, now do it again and make stuff up. I'm not the best when it comes to improvisation, but as soon as I got out to Mexico, I asked if anybody had ever killed a zombie with a headbutt. I picked the biggest guy in the crowd, and I killed him with 2 headbutts. I was happy about that. I'm claiming it. Maybe it'll start a trend. Good for you, Justin. I hope it was a trend, so you should get all the cookies for that. Next question. How would you describe the dynamic between your character and Walker? What was your experience working with Michael Gray Eyes to create it? Answer. I knew about Michael before I even met him, and he knew about me. The Native American film industry circle is not a large one, so we all know each other. There is an Into the Badlands trailer, so we may be going back in a hot second. I may hold this question until later. I'm kind of keeping an eye on it. Now, everybody can hear me now, which is good. So yay for that part. And it looks like we're going to go back. I'm stalling because it really does. Yes, we are. I will see you guys at break number 6. Okay, guys, it's 10:06. In spite of the fact that I had no data saying this was going to run over, it did run over about 5-6 minutes, but that's fine. Joan, you're saying there's no sound again. Really? No, I've been here, guys. Anyway, the scores, Joan's ending on 775, Kelly is ending on 8, I'm ending on 775. Jonah says she likes the hopeful ending of the episode, and Kelly likes the storytelling format. And let's see, Jonah's also mentioned, I wonder if Naomi / Laura really is dead. I'm kind of betting not, but I don't know. I apparently was wrong last season when it comes to Emma Caulfield being Tracy Otto. I could have sworn that she was going to be relevant later, but so far I have been incorrect. She hasn't been back. That's a shame. So I don't know. I think of Jenna Elfman as at least in the same caliber, but that's kind of a big name to just have him walk on and not do too much. So I'm assuming something's going to happen, but, you know, hard to say what it is. But at any rate, if you guys are all right with that, I may go ahead and just keep the Justin Rain interview for next week so we can go ahead and go. But I appreciate you guys hanging out with us and talking about the show and everything. And next Sunday we will have episode 6, which since you guys, well, Joan was here already. Kelly, I don't know if you missed, but episode 6 is, let me find my notes. Come here. Here we are. It's called Just in Case. And the synopsis is Strand wrestles with Madison's decisions. Things take an unexpected turn at the stadium. So that's what we're up to with that. And hopefully I will see you guys next weekend. And I appreciate you hanging out. And hope you enjoy the show. Thank you guys for joining us. And we will see you next week.